Hi, everyone. Brian Kilmeade here. A special edition of the podcast, an exclusive behind the scenes of what really took place, what also took place at the Super Bowl. I was able to be there from Thursday up until Monday. Did so many interviews, some of which in this length can't possibly air. That's what this podcast is for. So we got some great interviews. First off, Justin Jefferson. I believe the best wide receiver in football and root, if he can stay healthy, to be maybe the best ever for the Minnesota Vikings. He was voted Offensive Player of the Year. He's en route to the Hall of Fame, obviously. He's got a famous gritty end zone celebration. But most importantly, he was giving back to the troops, USAA program, where he surprised different veterans with tickets to the game. He was asked to participate. He said, of course I'll do that. So here's a little of my interview with, I've actually, the whole interview with Justin Jefferson.
So Justin, people are pulling at you left and right, but when the USAA called, you said, I'm in. Why?
Oh man, I definitely had to show my love to the military. I mean, just the things that I have done with them already. It's been an honor to be a part of it. Just showing that love, showing that support towards them. It's always great to be a part of that.
So I'm watching the video, how you had those oversized tickets. Can you set the scene for us? How the selection was made, where you were, what day it was, how it went down?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it was great to meet Bruce, retired war veteran, and to be around him, surprising him with Super Bowl tickets, an experience of a lifetime. You know, it was great to see the smile on his face, how happy he was to be involved. And I mean, the things that he have contributed to the USAA and all of the other war veterans that are out there. So it was great to be a part of it. And there's way more stuff that I want to be a part of in the future.
I was watching you outside in the video. You look nervous. Like you could...
I definitely was a little nervous. I mean, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what his reaction was going to be. If he was going to be, totally excited, or if he was going to have a little excitement. But he did it perfectly. His excitement was right on, and it was great to meet him and hear his story.
Right. So, I know you wanted to be here, and for a while, look, are you going to be here?
Right.
But looking at the season, no one's really replicated what you've done. You're the Offensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. All of the things that I've been through my career and ending up, as the best receiver in the league is, it's difficult to even think about. I mean, I just thank all of my supporters and all of my family for sticking with me the whole way and guiding me through the tough times.
You look at your stats, no one's done what you've done in 3 years.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about. It's crazy to even look at and to be compared to guys like Randy Moss and, the rest of the Hall of Famers that are before me. And it's just crazy how my career has started ever since I stepped foot in the league. And
why has it? Why? I mean, you were an outstanding player,
yeah.
But now you're looking towards a Hall of Fame player. With what changed?
I mean, I always had that chip on my shoulder. I always had that want to outdo the next person. I always had that competitive spirit in me. So every single time I step on that field, it's that killer mentality. Just going out there and just trying to be that best player that I can be. And, of course, I want to wear that gold jacket at the end of my career. So in order to do that, I got to do the things that no one has done before.
Like what? Is it happening in the off season?
It's happening every single day. If it's in an off season or if it's at practice or if it's, at home playing the game, just chilling, all of that just affects me in a way. And just having my mind focused on what I needed to accomplish. And that was to be the number one receiver this year.
Would you want to be the best ever?
Correct, correct. And I feel like I'm on a great place to do that with the numbers that I have and the effect that I have to the game. It's going to be crazy, the things that I have in store for the future. And it's definitely not going to stop.
And I know Minnesota's goal is to sign you, extend you. Where's that?
I hope so. I hope so. I guess we'll see later on if they extend me or not. But regardless, I'm still going to be the same person, still going to be the same player, and I want that goal to reach the Hall of Fame, and I'm not going to stop until then.
I hear you. About this game Sunday, can I put your analyst cap on? Tell me what to expect and who's going to prevail?
Sad to say it, but I think Philly's going to win.
Why sad?
Because, man, you know, when you lose to a team and, you know, they wind up winning the championship, you know, it hurts you. It strikes you different.
Right. But they are the better team?
I think so. I mean, all around, they have a great, great team. Going up against them, seeing it firsthand, I feel like they're going to do whatever they need to do. Of course, their offense is great with Jalen Hurts and their running game, passing game. And then, of course, their defense speaks for itself.
And lastly, rumors is you're retiring the gritty. Is this the sense it's getting bigger than you even?
I mean, to even have it going on for 4 years is honestly amazing. I don't think any other dance has been trending for that.
Maybe the hustle?
Right? The hustle, I guess me and Jamar being on top of the league. I don't know. Maybe I'll bring the gritty back here and there, but I'm definitely going to be, you know, thinking of some new dance moves.
So it's never going to be putting the ball in the end zone?
Never. Never. Can't be. I mean, I have that expectation now that I'm going to, you know, have a show every time I step foot in the end zone. So, of course, I got to hold that expectation.
So, Justin, I know you surprised him originally. Your veteran is here. Bruce is here.
Yes.
It's time for a reunion.
Hey, I'm ready to see him. I'm ready to see him.
Bruce, step up.
My guy.
I'm his boy.
My guy. Hey, hearing his story, hearing what he comes from, hearing what he did for the community in USAA, it's an honor to hear it, honor to be a part of it, and I'm just glad I got to give him the Super Bowl tickets, huh?
What is it like to get the tickets from the best player in football?
Well, it's the best thing that ever happened to me, and then some.
What were you thinking when he walked in? You were just sitting there, and he comes walking in. What were you thinking?
I've had one heart attack. I was thinking, am I going to have another one?
So, Bruce, tell me about your service.
After college, I went into school, and then I joined the Marines a little bit too late for Vietnam, but I caught Vietnam. And then I got out and did some education. And then I got in during the Second Gulf War in the Army, and I was a track vehicle repairman.
Wow.
And a shot expert with the rifle.
What has serving meant to you?
To me, I wish I could have had some combat. I mean, most people don't want combat, but I got pretty angry. And I guess you could call me the angry hobo. I wanted to do my part. You know,
You did your part.
I saw this country taking crap that they should never have taken. We should have been kicking instead of getting kicked big time.
When you're talking about 9/11?
9/11, Vietnam, the Russians, and the Chinese, all our enemies.
As long as you're on our side, I feel good about it.
Right. You mean Justin. Well,
he's on Minnesota's. He's on the Vikings side, so that's bad news for the rest of the league. Bruce, it's great meeting you.
You too, sir.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
So that's Justin Jefferson, man. I cannot wait to watch him grow. I'm not sure if the Vikings have what it takes to go all the way, but I'd love to see him in the big game. Rob Gronkowski has won 4 Super Bowls, and he did it all with Tom Brady, whether it was with the Bucs or with the New England Patriots. He looks like he's joined Fox. Now he's got this staple of Super Bowl week. It's an afternoon beach party, perfect for Gronk and his personality. His sponsorship everywhere, a lot of fun. We were on the balcony overlooking the big stage. Just as he entered, he gave us some quality time. So I talked to him 2 or 3 times throughout this shoot. And his loyalty to his sponsors, his likability to his fans, his legitimate party atmosphere, and, of course, being surrounded by family, all part of the Gronk show. And he gave me a sleeveless jeans jacket because we both have really big arms, and he's a lot taller. But you can't tell that on the podcast. My interview with Gronk, Rob Gronkowski.
So, Rob, the business of partying, is that the briefcase?
Yes, it's the briefcase. It's the first ever annual Gronk Beach briefcase ever in history, sponsored by Pit Viper, baby. I love them. I love the team. But let me tell you, it's all business today. Dancing, having a great time, my man.
Is that what the Gronk Beach party is? Is that the goal? Is that what you told everyone, the design?
Oh, yes. Gronk Beach is all about coming out here, losing your mind a little bit, having a good time, putting all your stresses away, coming out here, you know, get in some sunshine, get in some rays, get in a nice tan while you're out here, having a couple drinks, feeling good, but also dancing your face off.
Right.
That's what it's really about, is the dancing.
Right. And you can dance, let's be honest.
Yes, I can dance Gronk style.
Right.
You know, my moves are kind of like Elvis.
Aggressive.
Yes, very aggressive. I gyrate the whole time. That new movie, Elvis, that just came out.
Yes.
I finally found out where my dance are originally rooted from, and it's from Elvis.
Really?
Yes, it's the family of Elvis. You just gyrate and you go crazy. You
right.
shake the whole entire body.
I think there's more to that, but I'm going to go with what you're saying. Now, you're kind of business too. You're working for Fox. What did you do this week for the pregame show? What is it like working with the guys?
Oh, it's amazing working with the guys. I love Strahan, Terry Bradshaw, Howie Long, Kurt Menefee, Jake Glazer, just everyone. Jimmy Johnson, they're just such great guys. They're putting me under their wing and just helping me out so much. They want to see me just have success.
They want to see you succeed.
Yes, which is amazing. And it's just so awesome just being part of the team, just seeing how great they are and how professional they are as well. And we got a big pregame show tomorrow, a five-hour pregame show. I actually just came from rehearsals. That's why I'm just a tad bit late, just a tad bit late to Gronk Beach. But it's going to be a great show, just like Gronk Beach is going to be a great show.
What are we going to see you on? You do a one-on-one?
No, I'm not doing any one-on-one. That's for Strahan and Terry Bradshaw. They're very great at it. I'm just going to be at the, you know, the booth, just analyzing some games, just throwing my 2 cents in there, and just talking about the Super Bowl, man.
Now, Brady, you're known to take your shirt off. There's pictures of you with your shirt off. All of a sudden, Brady's got his shirt off. What's going on with this?
Yeah, I know. That's a little crazy. I mean, he's a Florida boy now, so you got to be able to take your shirt off when you're in Florida. It's 85 degrees every single day there. But I'm just listening to this music, man.
You're loving it.
Yeah, I'm loving it. I was kind of a little tired. I've had so many events. But let me tell you, I just listened to this music. I'm getting rejuiced right now, and that's what I'm talking about. And also, I'm in the sun. Sun, when the sun hits my body,
it
gives me juice.
It does.
Just gives me juice.
Last thing.
Yes.
You are so accomplished in your 30s, which you're known as a partier. You said you wouldn't have been the same player without being a partier. However, without the discipline, you wouldn't have the success. What's the medium?
Yes, there's definitely a medium. I mean, you can only party if you get, you know, take care of your work that week, make sure you get everything done, and then, you know, time to have a good time, and then reset yourself again that week. But also, I would say I was partying, but I wasn't just sitting there drinking, just laying there eating food. While we were partying, we were dancing. I was lifting up my friends. They were jumping on my back. I was, you know, dancing all over the place, moving my feet all over the place, working on my footwork. So let me tell you, somehow all that movement, all that gyrating, it just translates to the field if you're going hard enough on the dance floor.
Really, I got to talk about myself for a second. I want to follow you on stage and find out what it's like to be Gronk at the Gronk Beach Party. Am I dressed okay?
No, you're not, man. First, you need your Wrangler jean jacket, dog. Oh, whoa, 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 out of nowhere. Here you go, man, the official Gronk Beach.
On or off?
On. Put those Pit Vipers on. Woo! He's looking fresh, baby.
There you go.
Yeah, you looking like a daddy.
You think now that you're retired, we'll hang out a lot?
Yeah, we'll hang out all the time.
All
we
right.
both work for Fox. All we right, love Fox. Go. Let's go.
Did you say work? We're not working.
Yeah. This isn't work. Let's go.
So that's Gronk. But I wasn't done then. Back to the military, back to the USAA. Travis Etienne, of the running back for the Jaguars, who led the Jags to the most remarkable comeback story in quite some time, certainly of the season. They started off 3-7, end up in the playoffs, and won that dramatic game against the Chargers. But he did it. His reliable running put him in a situation where they were about to rally and take out the Chiefs before an inopportune fumble at the 2-yard line, not by him, by his teammate. So I had a chance to talk to him. What a great guy. Coming out of college, they expected great things. Urban Meyer picked him, didn't get a chance to really coach him. He got hurt, but now he's playing, he's healthy, and man, what a bright future he has. I had a chance to meet him and interview him. In the middle, you'll see him give tickets to Army veteran Adam Greenhouse, Greathouse. Adam's having some issues from PTSD, and he loves football, and they were able to get his name, and Travis able to respond him and surprise him on Zoom. But then they met for the first time in person. So here's the unedited interview.
So different feeling for you. Instead of being a team that's rebuilding, all of a sudden you're on the threshold with one of the youngest talented rosters. That seems to happen quickly.
Yes, sir. I think this goes to the testament. Our will to work. Things haven't been easy for us, but we just kept fighting and kept battling. And I feel like we kind of just jumped together as a team and finding ourselves in the right stride.
All right. What's it like being here this week?
It's been a great week. I feel like a very fantastic week. It's been a great experience. I'd much rather be getting ready for the game. So hopefully next year I'm not around here just running media. I'm getting ready to play.
It's possible.
Most definitely.
Yeah. So, Travis, tell me about everybody comes after you. They always want you to endorse stuff, do stuff, appear. Why is it important for you to say yes to USAA?
Because I feel like the veterans do, what they do for us is just so important. I feel like they just give us the opportunity just to come out here and play football. So I'm just very thankful for them and just give me the opportunity to come out here and do this for them.
All right. Before we get to the moment, you're going to meet the recipient of the tickets that you gave away, but you did let them know they were getting tickets, right? Set the table for us. Could you tell us how this whole thing came to be?
Sam hit me up, and I just said he had a perfect opportunity for me. You know, it's something I just couldn't pass up, and I feel like it's a great opportunity just to be able to give back to somebody. You know, we might not see it as a big thing, but for them it's a huge deal, and I feel like what they do for us is it's just more important than what I do out there on the football field. So for me to be able to get an opportunity, give them a chance, a lifetime chance of our Super Bowl, I'm forever grateful for that.
All right, so how was the interaction so far? So how did you let them know that they were getting tickets?
I kind of just called him over the phone, just talked to him, and really just heard their voice, and it was just a really cool moment. Just excited for that.
Have you seen them yet?
I haven't seen them yet, but they're not Jaguars fans, so I'm definitely going to give them a little something about that.
All right, I guess, can we bring him in?
Yep.
All right, so Travis, you haven't had a chance to meet the recipient that's going to the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 57, but I think you're about to meet them right now. All right, here we go.
I appreciate you. Hey. We got to get you some Jaguar gear, man.
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. Yeah, definitely.
Hey,
yeah.
Come on, step over. Nice to meet you, Brian.
Hey, nice
How's
to meet
it going?
You, sir, Adam.
You know Travis?
Yes.
Now you know him.
That's the first time we're meeting.
First time we're meeting, yes.
So tell me how this came to be. How did you find out you were going to the Super Bowl?
USA got a hold of me and said they wanted to sponsor like a commercial or so for the Super Bowl. And I got on there and they said, hey, you know, it's the first time we met you, but we had to lie to you to get you on here. It was aroused, and USAA, along with DAV and Travis, picked me to come to the Super Bowl. So I can talk for hours, but I'm speechless on this. Yeah, for sure.
You know how good this guy is?
Oh, yes. He does a lot of stuff for the community. I mean, you're a hard worker. All your work that you put on the field, it shows.
Was it hard for you to believe that this was happening?
I feel like I'm dreaming. I mean, this is amazing. It's a bucket list for, you know, so many people, veterans, civilians in the world. And you made my dream come true, and I can't thank you enough for that.
Travis, how does it make you feel?
I feel like this is, as a person, it makes you feel great. And I feel like this is what football can do for us, and this is what you're supposed to be doing with your gifts. And I'm very grateful just to hear his experience. And, man, just it's something that I can't just put into words because it's just so awesome. And that's something that I've been doing my whole life, and it brings such joy to someone else. And I love that.
Tell me about your service.
I was in the United States Army. I was 3rd Infantry Division. Absolutely loved it, and I was deployed, and then I went down overseas, so I fell ill and then ended up back home, and it was a long road journey for recovery-wise, physical and mentally. I found hope when I found with the DAV and recreational therapy, because, you know, we're all, being a veteran, you're very, you're competitive, so we have adaptive sports. So that kind of got me back into it and got me out of, you know, I felt like a failure. I felt like a burden. I hated myself. I was a statistic. And then I started helping others. And when you start helping others, it makes you feel better. And then you go out in the community, and then you're helping others in the community. And you're still helping. You're not wearing a uniform anymore, but you're keeping that oath. And that's what we're about.
Travis, you're nodding.
Yes, sir. No, just to hear what you're saying, I feel like everyone goes through their trials. Everyone's kind of have their dark places, and it's on us to keep fighting and keep giving. And I feel like the joy of giving is what keeps us going as humans.
All right. This is what struck me. You have a bucket list to go. You have a bucket list to play in the game.
Yes, sir.
So, you achieved your goal.
He achieved his. I'm glad he did. So that gives me hope that I'll achieve mine.
Could be next year.
Yes, sir. I would love that.
Great. I'll be cheering on too. Yes, for sure. All right.
All right, you have something to say about who's your favorite team?
My favorite team, the Bengals fan since '88. We will welcome you.
I have news for you. That is not the team that he wants to hear about.
No, it's not. I definitely know that because I know my research on the man from the Clemson all the way to the Jaguars. So, yes, you know, great career, tough running back, and we will welcome you any day.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
He doesn't want to be welcomed. He just wants to beat you.
All right. Exactly. Well, yes. Yeah, I know for sure.
All right. Guys, thanks so much. Hey, I appreciate you sharing that moment. All right, Travis. Awesome, man.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
So that's the running back of the Jaguars. Now it's time for a guy running to the top of the charts. That's Kane Brown. I had a chance to get to his green room about 7 o'clock, 45 minutes before he hit the stage at Super Bowl week. The whole audience was full of celebrities. Everybody wants to see this. Sometimes country, sometimes pop, sometimes R&B star, still in his 20s. He and his wife have a duet called Thank God, and it's number one in the country right now, almost on all charts. And they sang it together. She gave up singing to be a mom. She's got two kids, still young in her early 20s. Was able to see her, see the family. They're all the in-laws, the Eagle fans. He's friends with Patrick Mahomes, so he was a little bit torn. So just picture this. Green room, we walk in, he's there. Here's the interview. The whole thing, not the edited thing.
I noticed the sign on the outside of the green. Wherever you go, it's the cold spot?
Yeah, even my bar at home is called the cold spot.
Why is that important to you?
I just grew up there, you know. Every day after school, I'd go to the cold spot, and then, you know, we would go fishing usually from there. That's where I started playing baseball when I was 3. They had a softball team that was the cold spot softball team, so I'd go out and be the bat boy. Both of them were huge parts of my life, my great-granddad and my granddad, and they both passed away recently. So.
Wow. Sports was a big part of your life, too, growing up, right?
Oh, yeah. Football, basketball, baseball, and I ran track.
Where did music fit in?
Music was just always in my life. I was bullied a lot and picked on, and music was kind of my escape.
Why were you picked on?
Being a biracial guy in Georgia.
And you, I read that you said that you didn't know you were biracial till you were like 8 or 9.
Yeah.
And what was that like when you found out?
It was different. It took my little brother to tell me, and then being called the N-word. I went back and asked my mom what it meant. But, my family, I'd never met my dad's side of the family until I was 16. So I just was around, you know, I guess my white side of the family, but no color was ever talked about. So I just thought if you were darker than me, you just stayed in the sun longer than I did.
Right. That's kind of way I was never aware of color either. I think most people growing up, when you describe your upbringing, anything but easy, it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah. It was tough, but it made me who I am today. Made me ready, for the spotlight. So I'm grateful for everything that I went through.
So you decide, hey, I'm going to do this music thing, and you go out for a few of these contests, right?
Yeah.
The X Factor. What happened with the X Factor?
So I made it onto X Factor. You got to go through a bunch of rounds first.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And then I ended up getting kicked off, but then Simon tried to bring me back for a boy band. Called Restless Road.
Simon tried to bring you back.
Yeah, and he was putting us all together, and there was something just telling me to walk away. So I left, and then a couple years down the road, I ended up signing that boy band called Restless Road. So that's my only. I told them I wasn't going to sign anybody else until I broke them. So we're on the way, hopefully, to breaking them.
Right now, you have the number one song in the country, right?
Yes, sir.
Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
Describe what that means to you.
Means the world to me. You know, it's not easy getting a number one song, and then when you get to share it with your wife. I just found out that we're the second. I don't know if it's, I guess it's just country, but we're the second married couple to have a number one song. The others, Tim and Faith.
How much more special is it to share that with your wife?
It's amazing.
It's a family thing.
Yeah, because it's not like she was just my wife. She's been doing this longer than I have.
Right.
And she's super talented, and she gave up everything to be a wife and a mom. So I'm just grateful to get to share this moment with her and give back to her for what she's been doing, up for me.
And now I hear for the first time in America, you're going to be performing that together tonight.
Yeah, we've done it in everywhere else but here. So.
How has it gone in Canada and in Europe?
It's been huge.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see the reaction tonight.
When you channel some of the success you've had, in your back of your mind, you don't want to look back. You just want to keep looking forward. But mm-hmm. Did you have taken a moment to say how far you've come and how young you still are?
I think the moments that I do have is like when I'm just walking around my house like by myself. Like if I walk in my backyard or if I walk, I see something walking up the stairs, I just get like, dude, you have your own house or anything like that.
Because you lived in a car for a while.
Yeah, we had to move a lot. The majority of my time was in apartments or staying at friends' houses or, stuff like that. And so just to, have a home of my own and have two kids that I can provide for and stuff like that, that's what really makes me think of where I'm at in my
so
career.
I'm not a music expert. but some songs sound very country, some sound a little R&B. Do you label yourself anyway?
No, I just, you know, I say I'm an artist, but country music's my home. That's where I got my start. You know, it's the first genre I ever knew in my life. So I always have a country song before I have anything else.
So tonight, star-studded audience. You know a lot of these guys. They want to be there to support you. They want to see a great concert with Imagine Dragons. What's it like knowing not only performing with your wife, but the who's who in the United States is going to be in the audience?
It's the same. I'm just going to go out there and do my thing. I have a blast on stage, so I'm just going to go out and have fun.
You see eye to eye with athletes, too. It seems like you have that athlete mentality.
Yeah, I'm super competitive. But, I mean, once you do it for so long, I mean, you know, athletes, they do it, you know, ever since they're young. So they're used to it.
What does it mean for you as your kids get older and maybe having them experience what you're experiencing to see if they have some of the music ability you have, or find out what their parents do?
I just hope that they do whatever they want to do and they love doing it.
Right. And tonight your goal is?
Have fun and put on a good show.
And you going to the game?
I am.
Who do you want?
It's awkward because my family over here is from Philadelphia. but my boy is Pat Mahomes.
Right.
So I don't really, you know, if the
you
Eagles,
will not be cheering?
If the Eagles win, I'll be happy for them. If Pat wins, I'll be happy for him.
So, either way, you'll be on the field at the end of the game.
I don't know if I'll be on the field, but I'll be there.
Yeah, that's good. All right, Kane, best of luck tonight.
Yeah, thank you,
thanks so much for your time. And congratulations on everything you experienced.
Appreciate it.
And you earned it.
And final thoughts, just a great week. I mean, you need cooperation with people. If Super Bowl week is going to be great for the viewers and listeners at home, and that's what you got. You have people preparing for the game, but the pageantry around it, the events that are happening throughout the weeks leading up to the Super Bowl have become part of the story. And thanks to all these guys for coming down, providing great material for the show, and of course for the radio show too. And now you got this special podcast. I'll try to keep doing this, give you the entire interviews rather than just the stuff you listen to or watch on TV. So don't forget, the Brian Kilmeade Show podcast, always available, and we'll always put up their special editions. Thanks so much for listening, everyone.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.